Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Father, for the privilege, Lord, the honor, Lord, to bring your word. I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are involved with your creation, Father. You didn't create us and just go off somewhere, Father. You didn't leave us. You're not like the myth of the gods of the Greeks and of the Romans, and there's no war with another god that you're in battle with, except for Hasatan, who is no god. He's under your feet, and you love your creation, Father. You're active, Lord. You formed us from the dust of the earth, Lord. You came down. You formed us. You made us. You breathed your life into us, and we just thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit will continue to move, Lord, through this message, that you would add, Lord, whatever I've missed, that you would take away, Lord, whatever I've subtracted, Father, whatever, that you would take away what should not be there, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will move mightily, Lord, that your name will become greater, that the name of Yeshua will become greater, that the hearts of your people will become good ground, Father, and that my name would become lesser, Lord, in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Missed you all, like I said. It's crazy. Crazy. You would think I'd be used to it by now. Every new baby is a new curveball, as you could imagine. Aiden was bigger, but Zach is stronger. It's pretty funny how that works, right? I firmly believe that if Aiden wasn't as big as he was, at about 8 pounds, he might not have made it because he wasn't eating. So his body could sustain the not eating. Zachariah was born at about 7 pounds. He quickly lost most of that weight, but he was eating like a monster. All right, so it allowed him to continue. Just want to give you guys an update on that. That God is so good. I love the life that he gave me as a gift. You should all be thankful for the life that the Lord gave you. This new life is possible because of the new covenant, brothers and sisters. This life is possible because of the new covenant. And I thank God for the life I have. Are you thankful to the Lord for the life that you have? For the opportunities, for the blessings, the families he's given us, the finances, the loved ones, the children, the parents, the grandchildren. Our God is such a good God. Amen. This new covenant reality is beautiful. My desire, my heart is to continue living by this new covenant reality, brothers and sisters. Because reality is that Yeshua the Messiah gave me everything that I have. To have 3 sons before I was married, and to now have 2 children with my wife, to see the difference of the way that things are happening. God is doing a mighty work in my life, brothers and sisters. And it's not because I'm special. He wants to do that awesome, redeeming, refreshing, renewing work inside every single one of us. And my prayer is that he would have his way with this message. Even immensely, I ask you, Father, again, to have your way with this message, Father. May the words be anointed because of your spirit, not because of me, in Yeshua's name. Amen? Amen? Amen. From 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, God has made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Brothers and sisters, if you attempt to live by the letter of God's word, you will fail immensely. And you will find yourself in theological conundrums that you cannot even operate in. It is the new covenant that has breathed life into me. The death of Yeshua the Messiah, his resurrection, and the giving of the Spirit gives us such life, brothers and sisters. I had a bunch of verses that I wanted to go through about problems with trying to live under the Sinai covenant. But I'll leave just a few for you. Exodus 22:18 says, you shall not allow a sorceress to live. So if we were going to operate under the Sinai covenant, the Torah commands us to find a sorceress and kill her. Have you ever heard of levirate marriage? Levirate marriage means if you have a man that's married to a woman, and they have no children, the brother is allowed to marry the widow And he has to have a baby with her and continue having babies with her. And the first son will be at the name of the brother who died. Who wants to operate in that? I want to do the Torah. Who wants to do it, brothers and sisters? See, I think we missed the reality of the newness of Yeshua's covenant. The newness of what Yeshua brings. He doesn't just press reset like on a Super Nintendo. You remember the game gets messed up, it gets all fuzzy, and then you blow in the cartridge, put it back in, you press reset so the game can work. Anybody under 20 doesn't know what I'm talking about, but it's all right. That's what we used to have to do for you newer kids. If your phone starts freezing and acting up, what do? You turn it off and on, right? So it can start working. You reset it. That's not what happened with Yeshua. Yeshua literally brought down a newness to this covenant. He brought God's Torah to us now so we can have life. And we missed that. And I'm just so thankful for the life that the Lord gave me. Brothers and sisters, we need to have thankfulness for what God has done in redeeming us and making us whole. Are you thankful? I don't care if you don't have gas money. I don't care if you got a leaky roof. I don't care if your foot don't work or your back don't work. Our God has given us the promise of eternity, newness in this life here. It's a greater gift than just to have everything. Let me explain to you something. If the Lord just gave us everything, we wouldn't know what it is to be intimate with him, because the greatest intimate moments are brought through hard times. You ever meet anybody's kids of rich kids whose parents have a lot of money? They're the biggest brats. Amen? Why? Because they have such excess. Such excess that there's something missing in their understanding of the way the world works, because they live in this bubble of excess. What if we lived in this bubble of excess with the Lord? This is why we struggle sometimes. Here goes another verse for you. A bastard, from Deuteronomy 23:3, a bastard shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord. To someone born of an illegitimate relationship. Specifically adultery, not meaning that your parents weren't married, but if you were born in an adulterous relationship, you cannot enter into the assembly of the Lord. Who wants to live under the Torah? We need to understand there's a difference. The stipulations that were given us in Sinai set up a judicial system for Israel. But yes, God's Torah is still applicable to us. But how we relate to it is in the power of the Spirit. Amen? And what Yeshua brought to this relationship, he in John chapter 3, he's speaking to a ruler within Israel. He's speaking to one of the leaders, Nicodemus, Hebrew name Nakdemona. He's talking to him. He says, look, Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God and as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And look at what Yeshua says to him. Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 1:3, 1-3. See, brothers and sisters, this is an invitation from Yeshua to be born again. Why? Because your first birth sucked. You messed it up. You were born into a sinful way and a sinful nature, and you chose not God. You chose your own way. You chose your own path. You ruined everything for yourself. When you were born in the natural, your trajectory was for sin and for failure and for destruction and complete separation from God. This is why the Sinai covenant has a lot of rules that it does have, because it's dealing with sinful people who are going to do wicked things. This is why divorce is allowed under the Sinai covenant. But under the new covenant of Yeshua, we don't just divorce like that. Where many of the stipulations of the Sinai covenant bound us, the new covenant of Yeshua set us free to walk in his Torah truly as it was designed to be. John 1:12-13 says, but as many as received him, received Yeshua, to them he, Yeshua, gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, I was born of blood. I was born of man. I was born of flesh. I was born of my natural desires. I was born of what I wanted. And everything I wanted was killing me every single moment. It was killing me intensely. Every decision I made for drunkenness and waywardness and whoredom and just living in a debaucherous lifestyle will slowly consume me. And if you can relate to me, I see you, I hear you, I feel you. But the newness of Yeshua's life, it breathes such newness to us. Amen? When Cain and Abel were struggling with the sin, and Cain brought that bad sacrifice. The Lord says to him in Genesis 4:7, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Brothers and sisters, we need to master the ways of this world, the ways of the flesh. We need to abandon the ways of sin and live to the newness of life, the newness of Yeshua's covenant, the newness of God's Torah, the newness of what Yeshua does. Amen? It's a decision that we need to make, because if you're not on Yeshua's team, you are facing destruction. You are facing eternal dissipation, to be destroyed. And I'm thankful for the life that the Lord gave me. This is my testimony. The Lord has freed me from my wayward way of life. I'm still the same person. I make 95% of the same jokes. Some words have been swapped out for the sensitivities of the hearers. But for the most part, I'm really the same personality. What's changed are the actions of the things that I do, the quality of the things that I do. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Amen? There's only two paths. Two paths, brothers and sisters. The path of Yeshua, which is life, or the path of Hasatan, the enemy, which is death, which is sin. How will you live? Young people, senior Shabbat, how will you live? Older people, how will you live? Middle people, how will you live? I feel like I'm middle people now. 37, my birthday was 3 weeks ago. I'm middle people, right? Yeah? Middle people? It's all the older people calling me middle people. You see that? Then the younger people are like, no, you're older people. it's all good, man. It's all good. God is good, amen. See, when the Lord is talking through Moses and Moses is talking to the children of Israel, one of the themes that always comes up is the idea of circumcision. It's important because circumcision carved out God's people, right? Abraham's household was circumcised in the flesh. But the real thing that the Lord is looking for is a circumcision of heart, and that doesn't happen if you're not born again. Deuteronomy 36 says, moreover, the Lord God, your God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. With the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your might doesn't happen unless you're circumcised in your heart. Amen? And for me, I don't know when it actually happened that my heart became circumcised before the Lord. I know it wasn't when I first accepted him, because I had 3 kids before I was married right after I accepted him. So I didn't really fully accept him, right? And if anyone's been there, if anyone can understand that the reality of what that's like, right? You want to love him. You want to serve him. You want to say yes, but you still love the world. And you still please the world. You still live for your flesh. You're never going to be satisfied. When the real circumcision happened is when I felt bad for my sin. There were many times that I could read the Bible and not feel bad about the things I did before I read it, or not feel bad about the things I planned to do after I was reading it. The circumcision happened, I think, when the conviction started setting in, when my actions started changing, when the things I started doing started changing, the things I chose. Amen? When I decided to marry my wife, when I decided to have children within the confines of marriage, when I decided to change the things that I do, change my trajectory. My goal was to be a big DJ. Stupid goal. Well, just a dumb goal, right? Who wants to do that? Nobody. But the Lord changed me to just want to be his servant. This is the circumcision that God is asking for, is a cutting away of yourself. See, I was a bad man. I was a bad man. And Miss Ella always tells me, she goes, you got to stop confessing. The Lord already forgave you. I know the Lord forgave me. That's not the point. The point is that we defeat the enemy through our testimony of Yeshua the Messiah and what he's done. Amen? Because you know what it is? So many people sit in there and they go, you know what? I can never serve. I can never lead. God can never use me. I'm too wicked and too ugly. I've done too much bad stuff. You don't know. If the Lord can use me, he can use anyone. This is why Yeshua chose Paul, right? Because he received a letter from the high priest to go and drag believers away, to go capture them and put them into prison. He used the persecutor of the faith in order to be its greatest advocate. Isn't that powerful? The Lord wants to do the same thing with us because he gets glory when he cleans us up. See, I was a bad man, like I was saying. I was a bad dude. I did some bad things. There's things I've done that are solely between me and the Lord. But I've given myself to the Lord. I've changed my life. He's made me anew. He's changed my trajectory. The title of the message is Toledot Shelachem, Your Generation. I was born on August 4th. 4th. I know what day I was born. August 4th. Aiden was born on August 5th. Zach was born on August 6th. And since I changed my life, the Lord has allowed me to see in the spirit to change the trajectory for my sons. But as I go through my life and I think about my life and I'm like, yes, Lord, I served you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I served you. I chose you. And that's great. And it's cool. And I love you. And you've changed my relationship with my family. Now I can have a relationship with my wife and you change the trajectory for my sons. And what I've noticed as I pray about this and what the Lord's spoken to me is that the trajectory changed because of decisions that were made before me. You understand what I'm saying? See, in 1994, Rabbi Mark and Rebbe Regina said yes to the Lord. Despite his background, her background, all the baggage that could fill an airplane, because we all got it. And they said yes to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be consumed with God's way and God's path, and to pursue him no matter where it goes. And what happened is that put them on a course to serve the Lord, and here we are, 2021, in this beautiful community, with many, many lives that have been changed, and they have poured into me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about just giving me a gas card. I'm not talking about just calling me to see how I'm doing. I'm talking about being a father and a mother in the faith. This is why Zach's Hebrew name is Rachmiel ben Yecheskel. My name is Yecheskel. Rabbi Mark's Hebrew name is Rachmiel. But I understood that it wasn't just enough that my son would be named after the man of God who poured into me as a father in the faith. But indeed, I knew for a long time that I was to be called up by Ben Rachmiel as well. Because truly he's been a father to me in the faith, more so than my biological father has been. And understand, this isn't just for me to declare that just that look at how good it is and look at how great things are. The point is that God is looking to do the same inside every single one of our lives. And this is the context of how he does it. When I talk about being broken, depressed, lonely, bogged down with sin, I'm not different. We're the same, right? We choose sin. We choose waywardness. But the Lord wants to clean us up. And I can't even look at you right anymore because I'm going to start crying. Here's the key, brothers and sisters. That as we walk this walk faith out, I would be missing an opportunity if I don't share for you what God has done in my life up to this point. That the decisions that we make, the important decisions that we make, these moments that we make isn't just about us being on our path with the Lord. The real question is, who's your daddy? I had to do that. Because it doesn't matter how you were raised, doesn't matter where you were born, It doesn't matter how your parents treated you. It doesn't matter how you treated your kids. It doesn't matter what you did before. It doesn't matter how you lived. I grew up in Cypress Hills Projects in Brooklyn, New York. Cockroaches. The best water we had was out the bathroom sink. It was super good. It was the best water. Man, so good. But I can't look back over my life and say that that upbringing, that background is what can hold me down. My mother loved us. My mother did all she could for us. She loved us, raised us. I didn't lack for want from my mother. Provided, we always ate, always had clothes for school, always brought us to school, did a lot. But the spiritual building, the spiritual growing, my father's a different story. I won't even talk about him. But the spiritual upbringing, I didn't have that. To be taught to be a man of God, to be taught to live as a Jewish believer, to be taught to live as the way that God called me to do, I didn't have that. I had to choose to be a son to a man that wasn't my father. And so it changed the trajectory of my whole entire life. You have to understand, I might not even be alive right now if not for the gift of God of bringing Rabbi Mark into my life. 100% so. Miss Ellie, you underestimate me to put myself on the ground. You underestimate me to drink myself to a grave. You underestimate me to have 10 baby mamas. You underestimate me. You think I'm zealous for the Lord? You should have known me in the world. But the awesome thing is not how bad Eduardo is, but how great the Lord is to clean us up. And to think, you know, I think that now I stand in the line of Rabbi Mark's family. I hold that spiritual heritage. Because what his father taught him and what his father's father taught him, I drank from that well. And I think we miss sometimes the waters that have poured over the rocks that we can sip from when we're so thirsty and so thirsty and so thirsty. See, I don't want you to miss this point that because of Rabbi Mark's love and obedience to the Lord, listen, it starts with the Lord, amen? But you can't underestimate that when someone's obedient and says yes to the Lord, what God will do. And it trickled down. Tricking down to Zach and Dan. Picking me up with my 24 brothers and sisters in his small car. Put a couple babies in the trunk. Don't tell anybody, it was a long time ago. Statute of limitations up. And he would bring us here, and I thank you for that. Zach and Lee, which I knew later, the model of his relationship with Kathy Joe is a blessing. I pray to be as good as a husband as you are, Zach and Lee. Just something special about your love for your wife is right. There's something about something unique there. Not that, I mean, we all love our wives, but there's something really unique about the way you love Kathy Joe. And I aspire to that. And so you got to understand that we need to have these fathers in the faith. It's not that there aren't men who are willing to be fathers in the faith. No one's ready to be a child of the faith. Child in the faith. Regina, a true mother in the faith. Amen. Couldn't be more her son if she pushed me out. Amen. That's the reality. I love you too. And that's the reality. We got to understand that this is the heart of Paul, right? Let's see what Paul says. In 1 Timothy 1:2, and I know I'm bouncing around the verses, but it's important that we get this the way the Lord wants us to receive it. He says, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. He doesn't say to Timothy, that guy who came to Bible study once or twice. He doesn't say to Timothy, the guy I bailed out of jail once. True story. It'll be in the book. You got to buy it. No, just kidding. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, and indeed, this is truly a father to me. And I think that the problem is, and so many of you sitting there, cool, I get it, you got a sad story, Rabbi Mark helped you out, I get it. Okay, cool. Here goes the bottom line for you that I think the Lord wants us to receive. Is that it is a command from the Lord to you for you to find a father in the faith. The Lord is calling you to this. It may not have said it specifically, calls us to follow the Lord, it calls us to follow our leaders, it calls us to honor them. But I think we have a formula in Scripture where the Lord establishes leaders to become fathers over these wayward people, these wayward stray puppies, because I was definitely a stray. Are you willing to be a child in the faith the way that the Lord calls you to? Maybe you have a father who loves the Lord and don't blast Rabbi Mark with emails to be your spiritual father. I think he would love to love on every single one of you. I think he does that in an immense way as a shepherd. But I think we need to pray about, who does the Lord have for me to hold me accountable? Who does the Lord have for me to tune into in such a manner? And then not just Timothy, but also in Titus 1:4, he says, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Messiah Yeshua, our Savior. Paul was having these sons all over the place. Where are you at with your walk? Where are you at in your life, brothers and sisters? You've heard my story. You've heard my tale. You've heard how the Lord has moved mightily in my life and in this congregation, but where are you? Philemon 1:10, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. See, there's something interesting about the Hebrew when it says your generations, toledot. And it says it in the Torah all the time, right? Ele toledot. These are the generations. These are the generations. Toledot comes from the word holid or yalad. It literally means to begot. It means to father something. Your generations are directly related to how you father. And this applies to mothers as well. But it directly relates to how you parent the next generation. And you know what? It might not be your physical offspring. I wonder about my three older sons if they will ever serve the Lord, and I pray that they will. But they're not going to have the same experience my other two younger sons are going to have. That's a fact. But I have opportunity to be fathers to many in here as well, many young ones, to be a spiritual father in the faith, but also to be a child. Are you there? Are you walking that path? When Paul decided to father Timothy, Onesimus, and Titus, he changed their future generations for all eternity. Do you understand that? Did my own biological father's sins and waywardness projected onto my future generations darkness and sin? And because of our joint obedience, God was able to do something different and restore something, restore the line the way it should be, restore the proper timeline of a family who loves him and honor him and magnifies him. Isn't this what you want for your future generations? Then why do we sit by and live with this orphan mentality? Why do we live as though we're orphans? The cowboys in the faith who want to be so far and who don't want to be held accountable. I don't do well with men telling me what to do. But I completely had to change myself and be humble so that I can fulfill God's purpose for my life. And we all need to do the same thing. Amen, brothers and sisters? And the reality is that that is the hardest and most difficult thing that I've ever had to do. The trajectory to death is what we're all on. But will you live a life that's led by the Spirit? I think about, and I know many have heard this before, but I think about the first time I sat in his office when it was downstairs. And I told Rabbi Mark, I said, you know, I want to be a messianic rabbi. I want to be a rabbi. And he laughed right away, right? And not a little laugh, like a, oh, going, one of those big ones. And he said, no one's going to take you serious, ever. That's the kind of father you need, brothers and sisters. Someone who will tell you as it is. Because, you know, he could have coddled me. He could have lied to me. He could have told me that my life was okay. Jesus loves me. He accepts me as I am. And I would have been living that lie, and my generations would have never been changed. I wonder if this is speaking to anyone. I think many of us have a fractured view of fathers and what fatherhood means. Think about sex. It's an amazing thing and what God desired. But you take it outside of marriage and outside of God's will, then it's perverse, right? All it brings is destruction. Anything, money, wealth, you do it, use it in a godly manner. You can have money and have things and be a blessing. Same thing with fatherhood. If you take fatherhood outside the context of the way that God ordained for it to be, then it's only going to wreak havoc and destruction and death. It's the Spirit of God that rectifies that relationship between father and son. This is why the prophets foretell the turning back of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers and the mothers to the daughters, because these relationships have been fractured because of sin. If you had a godly father, Yishar Koach, good for you, man. That's awesome. I praise the Lord for that. But 99% of us have not. And it is today in this moment that we need to take responsibility for whatever fracturedness in those relationships existed, and we need to lay it at the cross where Yeshua is. And the problem is that so many of us don't want to do that. Why? Because it requires vulnerability. It requires people seeing your mess. Rabbi Mark has seen my mess. And he still loves me in the midst of it. And the man I am, of God that I am today, is because he was willing to do what God called him to do. If you can't relate to me on this point, it's because you're still living according to the flesh. Leave the flesh. Leave the world. It's full of lies and illusions, smokes and mirrors, but live for the God of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah, the mighty one of Israel, brothers and sisters. You will see your life transform. There's nothing that brings me greater joy than knowing that I'm going to raise my two new babies in the truth of God's word, and knowing that they will be raised children, and that I will be a grandfather one day, and I'll be around to see them, and I have a wife that I can grow old with and love. And there's no greater joy than I have with that, because then it wouldn't have happened if God did not bring a man of God into my life to move like that. But I too had to say yes to be an obedient son. The reality is, do you walk in sonship and daughtership? Do you walk in the child faith that God has for you? Or are you too busy living on your own, thinking you know the answers, thinking you know that how everything should play out? Are you rebellious to the leadership? Are you rebellious to what God is calling to? Are you pushing away the people that God are trying to pour into your life because you don't like what they say? We're so quick to listen to people on YouTube and people online who claim that they have good advice, but we won't take the words from the ones who are here in the flesh pouring into us. I want to show that picture of Zechariah, if you would. When you get it. That's the little baby. That's Rachmiel ben Yechesko, which means mercy, God's mercy. My God is mercy. Beautiful baby, right? And I think that one day he'll grow up and he'll be a father, right? And he'll, you know, isn't that a beautiful thing? I'm floored by God's love, right? And then you think, you know, and then to think, you know, it came from, you can probably show the next picture. So that's me and Rabbi Mark way back when Josiah was a little boy. That's Tyler to the left of him. And that's the old picture, right? So that was with the iPhone 2. that's a long time. It's the same shofar, though, so... And then you can show the next one also. So this is me carrying the Torah. So at one point I did carry the Torah around. See if you can get the next one in. If you don't have it, that's okay. Okay, that's fine. But this is us way back when, right? And I just think Rabbi Mark had black hair. And I think we need to understand, right, that this is the business that God is in, right? In the business of restoration and refreshment. But it just doesn't happen like that. It's not something where we just wake up and we receive that, right? I read to you Acts 3:18, which I think is vital, because Acts 3:18 gives us the formula. Because you know what? Your body feels dry. Life sometimes feels dry. It feels brittle, rough edges. Things are stale. Nothing worse than stale tortilla chips. If you've ever had them, don't have them. They are disgusting, all right? When things are stale and dry, it's just nasty, right? It's just not good. And sometimes life can feel like that. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Life can feel dry and stale, the same thing. Monotonous over and over and over, and no newness, no healing, no restoration, no refreshment. Acts 3:18 gives us a formula to be refreshed. And what's so funny is that, remember, we don't think the Torah is gone. The Torah is not done away with, right? What I'm telling you is that the Torah adapts to the present new covenant reality. And that the Torah itself contains within itself the stipulations for it to be adapted to a new covenant reality. Now go back, play that again, and listen to it, because that's a big nugget. That's a whole message in and of itself. But the apostles knew this. The emissaries knew this. And look at what he says. He roots it back in the words of the prophets and in the words of the Torah. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If your life feels brittle, dry, stagnant, stale, nothing worse than still water, right? Stagnant water, sitting there, still, no movement, no life. We need to repent, brothers and sisters, and turn from our waywardness. Turn from the waywardness of not wanting to be a son. Turn from the waywardness of not wanting to be a daughter. We come in here so pompous, like we know so much. We're called to be humble servants, brothers and sisters. You know, it's funny. You know, my family are Anusim. I have Jewish heritage from Jews that were forced to convert to Catholicism from Spain. And I wrestled with being called Yecheskel ben Rachmiel for a long time, years. And I didn't know if it was the flesh that wanted it or the flesh that didn't want it. Anybody ever been there? Do I want to be called Ben Rachmiel to legitimize myself? Or should I just be called Ben Avraham because, you know, I'm from the Anusim, so that'll kind of let people know I got something going on different, right? It's a weird thing, right, how the flesh can do that for you. So I waited on it. I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and the Lord said that this is appropriate and this is right. And it is a way to honor a man who's been a father to me. Not like a father, a father to me. And I know that I could call him any time of day, brothers and sisters. And this is what God is looking to do, brothers and sisters. He's looking to restore us and refresh us. And I know this message is a little different than my other messages. But I think it's important that at this time, with all the things that are going on in the world, Taliban, Afghanistan, all the political stuff, all the turmoil in the world, it's just as important, if not more important than ever, to understand that we need to be ready as children, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, and indeed sons and daughters of true fathers in the faith here. Amen? And my biggest fear, and this is a message for another time, is that when they come looking for you, when they come looking for you, are you going to stand firm or are you going to fold your cards? See, what I think is directly tied to that is the fact that we're not choosing to be sons and daughters today. So when we're really called on to stand for the faith that we have, we're going to fold. One of my closest friends, his name is Mike. Love Mike. I met him at a Walmart. It sounds crazy, I know, but I was walking down Walmart. He was on the phone, and he's talking to someone on speakerphone. And the person on the speakerphone says something I couldn't hear. It sounded blah, 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 blah. He said, "Man, you can't fight your way out of a wet brown paper bag with a pair of scissors," right? And that was the craziest thing I ever heard, right? Because it's easy to get out a wet brown paper bag with a pair of scissors, right? So that means he can't fight at all, right? So it was really funny. So I introduced myself to him, started talking. We hung out for a long time. Super cool guy. I love that guy to death today. But are we going to be like paper in the rain when they call on us and ask if we believe in Yeshua? Are we going to fold like that? Are we going to be like that brown, wet paper bag? And what's going to determine that is what we do today, brothers and sisters. You know, message for another time, but in Afghanistan, they're going door to door, taking away women that are 12 and older, right? You understand that they are taking believers. The church and the believers in Afghanistan are suffering immensely, right? Being persecuted. They're getting text messages saying that we know where you're at. We're going to come get you. Several weeks ago, they made them register. And so that all the Christians had to register that they were Christians several weeks ago before the Taliban took over. So just it's what happens in Muslim countries. It's normal. But so now they have a database where all the believers are. And if you're first generation Christian, then you get killed under Sharia law. Right? So we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that when they call on us and it's life or death, will we stand on the truth of Yeshua's gospel and Yeshua's life and the life that he gave us? It's all good on Saturday morning to drive down here in our cars and have our coffee and hang out and have oneg and eat delicious snacks and have fun and hug on each other. But what about when it really comes down to it? At that moment when they call on us to profess Yeshua or deny him, that's when we're going to know what you did all these years while you're sitting here singing Michamocha and the Shema and the Amidah and all these things. When you blew the shofar, we're going to know if you meant it when you blew the shofar in that moment. Let's not just be about these external things, but let's be about the reality of what God calls us to, which is an in-depth, intimate relationship, not just with God himself, but with those who are in this community. And whatever way that's going to manifest, do we understand that whatever way that manifests, we take the correction, we have the battle, we bump the heads, we work it out for the glory of the building of the kingdom of God. Amen. My fear is that we're not too serious. And I know this might sound like an intense message because it is intense. We're living in intense times. Eternity hangs in the balance. I don't know if we understand that or not, but it's not just about the relationship that Rabbi Mark and I have and the building that God is doing there, but it's about every person in this community. How are you invested in building God's purpose, God's plan, God's kingdom in your life? It's super important, and I don't think we get that. My prayer is that we will all be consumed with God. We've had some losses. This year, last year, we've had some hurts, some pains, some difficult things. Have you leaned on the community to help you, to pray with you, to pray for you? How do you expect to be brothers and sisters and fathers and sons and mothers and daughters if we don't even know what's going on in your life? I shared with Rabbi Mark and Rabbi St. Regina several weeks ago something that was serious going on in my life, something that could have been very serious. And a part of my flesh kind of wanted to, but kind of not wanted to, right? Because you always wonder, are you going to get judged? Are things going to be weird? It's not because I did something wrong, but just that, you know, you never know how things are going to play out, right? In the flesh, right? You always got your flesh that's there. But I was received with love and open arms and counseled on the situation, and all was well. And it was well from the beginning, but I was able to see clearly because I had counsel. And this is what Rabbi Mark was sharing in the Michamoka message, right? So many people don't want counsel. They don't want to have their life poured into. They want to sit down with the rabbis and the elders and have the rabbis and elders tell them what they want to hear. But what they really need is to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say through the eldership and other leaders and other people in this community. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. He's active. Everybody with me? You guys look sad. Sadness is for people with no hope. We have a great hope in a great God who didn't think it foolish or silly or not worth coming down and dying for us and raising himself up again. Amen. And then we have his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us if we're his. No sadness. We have hope in the King. Amen. We don't cry for what was lost. The Lord will restore what the locusts have eaten. And what's funny is that locust is a sign of judgment. So whatever judgments you walked into on your own life that you've allowed to happen, the Lord can restore and make whole those things that were broken because of your bad decisions. And even if you made no bad decisions, love to talk to you later about no bad decisions. But even if you made no bad decisions and all the hurt was done to you, the Lord can heal you from that too. Amen. I'll leave you with this last verse. From Isaiah 64, 8 to 9. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are a potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. God might be angry because of your sin and rebellion. Listening online, you stumble across us on YouTube. It's not the YouTube algorithm, it's the Ruach HaKodesh. They wanted you to hear this. That the Lord may be angry, but for a moment, but his mercy and grace is immense for those who repent and turn. And this is the moment of new life, brothers and sisters. May we make decisions in keeping with that. Amen. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord. I bless you and I praise you, Lord, for this community, Father, and for what you've done in my life, Father, and what you're doing in the lives of your people who are watching online and who are here in the building, Lord, and what you've done for the eldership and the leadership, Rabbi Mark, Rabbi Sam, Regina, and all the others, Father, and the wives and all the Shamashim as well, Lord, who have said yes to you, Father. This is the ripple effect, Lord, of the Spirit moving so many decades ago, Father, that we will continue to walk in the move of your Spirit, that we will not quench the Spirit, they will be praying and reading your word, Lord, and seeking to serve you and to physically do the things that you call us do to build the kingdom. May the building of the kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah be the main concern of every single one of us, Lord. And if it's not, may you transform us and change us in accord with your will, Father. Burn up anything that's against you, Father. Burn it up, burn it up, burn it up, Lord. And fill us with your Spirit anew, Lord. Refresh us, Lord, in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.